Ooh, glory, 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 glory. The Lord is high above the heaven and his glory above the nation. We honor the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, who is the head of our lives, and we declare this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the anointing even right now, and be glad in it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have assembled ourselves this day to come before his presence in worship with the word and in prayer. Welcome to the weekly pastoral connection. Today is Tuesday, November the 10th, 2020, and it is my pleasure to be with you, to share with you what God has put upon our hearts. This is Pastor Horace Michael. I am the pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church and the bishop of the Brooklyn Diocese of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. And I wish to welcome you all tonight in the presence of God. We honor the presence of the Lord tonight, and we are grateful to God for each of you that are joining us now. And even those that are listening to the recording, we thank God for you. Before we go any further, hallelujah, hallelujah, let's go before the Lord in prayer. We want to invite his presence, and we want to let it be clear that this is the Lord's doing, hallelujah, and it's marvelous in our sight. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bless your name this day. There is no other name under heaven that is as marvelous as your name. No other name under heaven that is as glorious as your name. And we call your name, oh God and Father, even our Lord Jesus. We bless Tayarabosha. We bless you, Lord, for keeping us through today. We thank you for giving us brand new mercies this morning. We thank you for allowing us to be yet in the land of the living. We glorify you that you gave us another chance to worship you, another chance to adore you, another chance to bless you, another chance to tell you thank you. And tonight, Lord, we are near and far, but we are united in praise and worship. Somebody has come with an expectation. Somebody's come tonight looking to hear from you. Hide us behind the cross and get all the glory. Hallelujah, for all the glory belongs to you, the God of strength and wisdom, the God of love and patience, the God of righteousness and peace. Bless now, Lord, the sharing of your word, that it may inspire the hearts of the listeners, provide guidance, strength, and encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you again and welcome. This is our weekly pastoral connect, and it is my pleasure to share the word of God with you on tonight. We came last week speaking from the topic and sharing from the topic, battling strongholds. And we wanted to encourage you through the word of God, understanding that when we come together, even in our prayer and fasting, as it is our fast day, Tuesdays is our fast day where we turn down our plates for a liquid fast. We are believing God for the breaking of chains, for the destroying of yokes, loosing the power of God through prayer, fasting, and the word of God. I'd like to share with you our key scripture as we do part two tonight in battling strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 3 through 5. I'm going to read this tonight, and as we go through the lesson, I'm going to ask others of you to please prepare to read. That means I'm going to anticipate, as I have asked in the past, that you even do tonight, have your Bibles handy, and let us prepare for a lively interaction in the name of the Lord. And so, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 3 through 5 is where we will begin our reading for tonight. Praise the name of God. The word of the Lord says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The word of the Lord is blessed in Jesus' name. I'm going to pick it up from where we left off last week. And the last thing we were talking about last week was the fact of understanding whom the Lord loves, he chastens. We have to understand that in dealing with strongholds, we are talking about making a change. Now, the Lord is not a punitive God. It is not his pleasure that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. It is for this cause, as he has loved us, he has loved the world. And because of that love for the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, in the Son, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so let us be very clear. God is not a punisher. It's not his nature to punish his children. He loves his children. The Apostle John says, beloved, he calls us the beloved of God, that it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And so let's understand God's nature toward us is one of love. The Bible says that it is with loving kindness that he's even drawn us unto himself. He has not brought us into relationship through coercion. It is actually through cooperation, and that cooperation is in the context of him demonstrating his love to us and allowing us to see our need. I'm wonderfully blessed to know that God is not blinding us to ourselves. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. The Lord does not blind us to ourselves. He allows us through the grace of God to see our need. But he doesn't just expose the need. He provides the remedy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, how cold-hearted it would be for him just to point out our need, to point out our shortcomings, to point out where we lack without providing us with the means of becoming what we ought to be according to his divine standards. Aren't you glad that the Lord God has made it possible for you to be qualified to be his child? This qualification has come through the offering of Jesus Christ. He that knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. Our entire relationship, every benefit we experience, all of the good and blessed things that come down from the Father of lights, they come down from God to us through Christ. It is that relationship of sonship, hallelujah, that we have. And as sons, God responds to us not only in compassion, but he responds to us in correction. I'm going to ask someone to get Hebrews chapter number 12. Verses 6 through 8. I'm going to bring you into active duty tonight. Praise the name of God. I need someone to get Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Praise the name of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Praise the name of God. If you have that, I'm going to ask you if you would be so kind as to unmute yourself and then share that passage of scripture. And if you all, can you all see this whiteboard that I just put up?
Yes, we can.
Okay, wonderful. I'm going to start putting some things in the whiteboard so that you all can see.
I'll read it, the first
Yes,
one, when you're
please.
ready. Okay, Hebrews 12, 6 through 8. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. That ended the 8th verse.
Amen. Amen. All right. So that was Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. I'm going to try to keep these scriptures in front of you in case you want to get back to them so you all will have them. It's important to know that God's love for us does not just allow us to go along our own way. His love is like David expressed in the Shepherd's Psalm, that his rod and his staff, they comfort us. So not only do we have the compassion of God and the comfort of God, but we also have the correction of God. We cannot have compassion and comfort without correction. His love puts him in a position where he will chasten or he will correct his children. That is the obligation of parents. Good parents don't just give their children good things. Good parents train their children in the way they should go, by pattern as well as by precept. You cannot train a child by precept and then show them a pattern that goes contrary. It must be precept and pattern. And so God models that for us as the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither is there shadow of turning. He models the compassion, he models the care, but he also models correction. He loves us and corrects us, and it is now our responsibility to endure it. Praise the name of God. We are to endure his chastening. In other words, we have to go through it. You don't have a choice to say, I don't want to be corrected. I mean, that's just as absurd as a child saying to their parents, I did what you told me not to do, and I don't want you to correct me for it. That's an absurd idea. How can the child tell the parent, you can't correct me? And as absurd as that is, it is certainly likewise absurd that we would resist the chastening of God. God deals with us as children, and as such, chastening becomes us if we get out of line. We cannot be partakers of his comfort without being partakers of the chastisement and correction. And if we resist his correction and chastisement, then the scripture says that if we do that, where all children are partakers, then we relegate ourselves to the place, as the scripture says, as a bastard or as an illegitimate child and not as a son. You need to understand this, beloved. The inheritance comes to the sons, it comes to the daughters. It comes to the children. Hey, if you don't want to be corrected and you act out of being a son or a daughter, then judgment remaineth. And if there is judgment, then there is no reward. The correction of the Lord comes so that we won't have to be condemned with the world. Someone please read. We're going to go on now. We're going to continue right where we are. Let's continue in that same chapter, verses 9 through 11. Somebody else pick it up, please. Verses 9 through 11.
Verses 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness.
Continue, please.
Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down.
And oh, that's okay. You're in verse 12 now. That's fine. Thank you so much, dear. So let's understand, as I shared earlier, when we were dealing with correction in the flesh by our natural fathers, we dealt with it and we gave them reverence. The scripture says that we respected them. That word reverence in this particular context speaks of respect. And so Paul says, if that's how you respond to your natural fathers, how much more should you respond to your spiritual father, the father of all spirits? Understand, the body can be destroyed, but the spirit lives on forever. Some people will correct their child, or they will warn their child and say, I brought you into the world, I can take you out of the world. As a warning for children to watch their behavior, watch your mouth, watch your actions. Don't get out of line. I brought you here, I can take you out from here. Well, and if even with that being true, we're not talking about murder. We're not advocating for murder, but I want you to understand that once the flesh is dead, the flesh is dead. You can't do nothing to dead flesh. You can stomp on the ground, scream and holler. You can puncture it. You can stab it. You can burn it. But once it's dead, it's dead. Your spirit will live forever. And if we are subject in respect to our natural parents, who will spank our little behinds when we were children, and we would feel the sting of that belt or that swatch or that switch or that whatever they use, you know, and that it only lasted for a moment. What about what will happen if we're dealing with our spirit and our spirit lives forever? Who would want to go to a devil's hell and be in hell forever? Eternity is a long time. And Paul is saying, listen, if you can respect your natural parents for their correction, you need to be smart and understand that you need to respect your spiritual father and live. He says, they're verily for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Our parents will correct us because they want to see the good in us. They're not brutalizing us, but they want to see that what they have put in us is going to make a change in our lives. And if we get off track, they're going to correct us. Paul says, but he for our profit. So Paul is saying that when God chastens us, the value of it is infinitely more than the value we get out of natural chastening, natural correction. It's a profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. The Bible says to follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And so if we resist his correction, not only do we lose out on an inheritance, but we can't see God. Hallelujah. We can't see him. We can't see him in our flesh and in our sinful state. We will behold him. Hatayarabo Shanda. Woo! we shall behold him whom our soul loveth. The Bible says that we shall see him as he is. Glory to God. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. Of course, there's nothing good about getting spanked. It hurts. It's a painful experience. And it's also a painful experience when God has to correct us. But afterwards, there's some fruit that comes out of it. And it's a peaceable fruit. It's an experience that settles us. God's correction will settle us. It'll calm us down. And it will yield righteousness. Mm-hmm. It has good fruit. Some people are struggling with the issue of bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. But I want you to understand that you cannot bear fruit without getting pruned. There's got to be a cutting away. There's got to be a cutting away. But I'm so glad that in the process, God does something for us so that we can endure. I'm going to ask somebody to get James chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. I've put that in the whiteboard, and those of you that are sharing, that looking at the monitor, you'll see it. James chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. And then I'm going to need somebody else to please get James chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Let's see what James has to say to us. Praise the name of God. And then we're going to go to Ephesians.
I'll do James 4, 6 to 7.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Please read.
But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
You have to understand, we're not fighting God here. Stop struggling with God. The fight is not with God. The fight is with sin. The fight is with the enemy. When it comes down to my relationship with God, it's not a boxing match. I'm not wrestling with him. I'm submitting to him. I'm yielding to God. I'm giving myself over to him. The Bible says that God resisted the proud. So that basically means if I'm going to surrender myself to him, I've got to let go of pride. I'm not right all the time. I make mistakes. You're not right all the time. You make mistakes. And some people's attitude gets in the way of their own blessings. We're talking about battling strongholds tonight. I hope y'all can hear this and receive it. The Bible says that God giveth more grace. What I love about the grace of God is that God dispenses it to us for what we need as we go through what we're going through. He giveth more grace. He giveth grace to those who humble themselves. He doesn't give grace to proud and arrogant individuals. God's grace is his riches at Christ's expense. In other words, Christ had to die for us to have God's grace. His grace is valuable. I can't make it without God's grace. I can't live without God's grace. The unmerited favor of God, God who is a just God, he can't cut corners with us. He can't violate his word with us. You know, parents would often say when they correct their child, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And sometimes, well, not sometimes, when we were getting spanking, we couldn't understand that because that spanking was hurting and it was coming from the parent. How is it hurting them more than it's hurting me? The issue is, the parent doesn't want to do that. That's the last thing that a good parent wants to do is to spank their child. But if it's necessary, the parent will have to do that. God gives us grace when we submit to him. When we resist him, we create a problem for ourselves. He gives more grace. Whatever, if you need grace, the Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. God is not going to hold back anything from you that pertains to life and godliness. Nothing will he withhold from you that pertains to life and godliness. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly before him. It is a part of the experience of a child of God to experience the goodness of the Lord. My God. David said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. James tells us we have to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Give yourself to him wholly. Don't hold back from God. If God asks you to give you your life, give him your life. There are many of us that are on the line right now that have accepted the gracious invitation extended to us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We are the beneficiaries of God's rest. I don't know how you feel about it. We are the beneficiaries of God's rest. We don't have to be afraid or anxious for anything. All things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we are to make our request known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. In other words, the peace that God gives you is bulletproof. His peace does not depend on circumstances. It depends on him. And they that trust in him will be like Mount Zion that cannot be removed. You are anchored based on your trust level. Lord, have mercy. You want me to tell you how much you trust God? Look at how stable you can stand. Your stability is connected to your trust. Lord, have mercy. My stability in life is connected to trusting God. The Lord hear you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. The Lord send you help from the sanctuary and strength out of Zion. The Lord will provide. So submit yourself to him, even if it's in correction, because we're talking about battling a stronghold. On the contrary, resist the devil, and the devil will flee. The devil will back up from you. See, the devil is expecting you to react based upon your flesh. He's expecting that you're going to act the way you used to act when he would dangle that carrot in your face, when he will try to bring that temptation upon you. He expects you to respond the way you did in the past, but the devil is a liar. When you resist the devil, he will flee, because he's going to realize that it's no longer you, but Christ. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? The closer you get to God in the practical experience of your life, in terms of your prayer life, the time you spend in prayer, the time you spend reading the word, the time you give yourself over to fasting so that you can get closer to God in your heart, as you do this, you will change. Let's go to James chapter 4, verse 8 to 10, and let me show you how this change will work. Somebody read that, please. James chapter 4, verse 8 to 10, please.
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
So oftentimes you will hear a preacher or a teacher say, do this, do that, be this, be that. You're strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You know, be ye holy, for God is holy. And they'll say these great things, and they're right. They're true. We should. But sometimes what happens is we need to understand, well, how do we do that? And a lot of times people won't ask that question. And so tonight, let me break it down for you. James is telling us exactly how we should submit to God and resist the devil. Verses 8 through 10 tells us how. Number one, draw nigh to God. What does that mean? Spend more time with him. That's what it means. Spend time. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Spend time with God. Some of us want stuff from God, but we don't want to spend no time with him. I mean, you know, that's cold-hearted. You know, can you imagine if the only time your child wants to talk to you is when they want something? You feel a way. James is telling us how do we submit to God? Number one, spend time with him. And you'll see that as you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Now, clearly, God is as close to you as God is going to be. God fills all space and time. You can't even get more of God. God is God. You don't get more of God. You can't get less of God. The real issue is how much of you have you given to God? And what James is talking about here, and this is what the Holy Spirit is putting in my heart, that the closer you get to God, the more you're going to see of God. And consequently, you can't get close to somebody without somebody getting close to you. If I'm standing at a certain point and you see me down the block and you come toward me, isn't it obvious that as you draw close to me, I'm going to get closer to you? It's not because of what I've done, it's because of what you're doing. Now, as it relates to God, God has already done everything he could possibly do to get you to the place of access. Woo! Somebody need to say access, access, access. Woo! You want to talk about breaking strongholds? You need to know where to be. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Kataya Ramoshanda. Woo! Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Next thing, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In other words, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. When you get close to God, you begin to understand that sin doesn't have the power over you like it had before. I wish somebody would just open your mouth and say that. Sin, you've lost your power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You, the believer, shall have power. Sin loses its power over you when you get the Holy Ghost power. One of these powers has to be better and stronger than the other. Guess what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Sin will not have the rule over you if you have the Holy Ghost, because you're not under the operation of law. You're not operating in the flesh. You're operating in grace. God's riches, there goes God, there goes that grace again. God's riches at Christ's expense. Woo! Come away from sin. Purify your hearts. So let's just check that out. Because what you do with your hands is one thing, but you got to do this in your heart. You got to do this in your heart, because a person can change their actions, but if they don't change their heart, they're going to go back to their old actions. So the Lord is not saying that you shouldn't change your actions, but he's saying that your heart's got to be in this. I'm so glad that the Lord can give us a clean heart. How do I purify my heart? By yielding to God. How do I yield? By spending more time in prayer. Spending time talking about God. Sometimes people think the only way we can spend time with God is through prayer, fasting, or the word. No, you can spend time about God or draw nigh to God. When you talk about God, speak well of him. Declare his mighty works. Lord, have mercy. David said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. This is not what he was saying to the Lord. This is what he was saying about the Lord. In other words, he was bragging on him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I dare you to brag about God. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You can't be talking like God one day and then talking like the sinner, like a sinner the other day. You can't be talking holy one day and then talk carnal the next day, or talk holy and right now and then 10 minutes later start talking carnal. Watch that, saints. We got to watch even how we joke. Sometimes we joke in a carnal sense, and you can feel the spirit. You can feel Ichabod happening. You can feel the spirit of God moving out of a situation because it's gotten carnal. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. In other words, you need to get sober about your situation. This is no joke. Don't brush it off. You need to feel this. You need to understand this. I'm trying to get closer to God. I'm not playing no games. This is not Mary Had a Little Lamb. I mean, it is the Lamb of God. But this is not a nursery rhyme. This is not Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. This is not, you know, none of that game show stuff. This is not tic-tac-toe. This is my life I'm dealing with here. And I'm not going to allow the enemy or anybody else for that matter to interfere with my trip to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. And so if I got to get this afflicted and mourn and weep, laughter be turned to mourning, joy to heaviness, this has to do with your attitude. Some people are dancing over sin. They're trying to shout over sin. They're trying to talk about I love Jesus and they don't even love each other. How are you going to love God who you don't see and you can't even get along with me? Something's wrong there. James says, okay, humble yourselves in the sight of God and he shall lift you up. Now, to humble yourself is not to denigrate yourself. It's not to rob yourself of value. It is to understand your worth in the presence of God. That God, you are worth more than me. You are holy. You are valuable. You are more important to me than my necessary food. I need you more than I need food. I need you more than I need drink. And this is why when we turn our plates down, there is something powerful about that fasting experience. Don't you all underestimate it. I've told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, if you can learn how to fast and keep your body under subjection when you are fasting, when temptation comes in, you will have the discipline in the Holy Ghost because you will know how to tell your flesh no. Ha-ta-ya-da-mo-sha. Woo! You need to tell your flesh, shut up, flesh. Tell it. If you're going to tell anybody to shut up, and some folks, they tell folks to shut up like it's all right. You shut up. You shut up. You shut up. No, you shut up. You want to tell somebody to shut up, tell your flesh shut up and submit. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. In other words, understand that he is greater than you. You may think you all that, but you ain't all that in God's face. Isaiah said, woe unto me, for I'm a man, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. He understood that in the presence of God, God's presence is so overwhelming and it's so awesome, it's so immeasurably valuable that we immediately see the fact that, well, you know, hey, I may think I'm something to me, but when it comes down to it, God is worth a whole lot more than I am. I'm undone. I'm undone. My lips are unclean. I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips, you know. And in that moment when the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord lifted up, the Lord dealt with him and he brought him to a place of wholeness. That's what happens when you humble yourself. Y'all need to write that down. When you learn how to humble yourself, it brings you to a place of wholeness. There are so many things that the devil will try to make you feel that you lose when you humble yourself before the Lord. The devil is a liar. Your wholeness, your soundness, the entirety of your being, it resonates with the favor of God when you humble yourself. Because what you are doing is you're saying, God, I'm not trusting in the government. I'm not trusting in my flesh. I'm not trusting in my family. I'm not trusting in my intelligence. I'm not trusting in my good looks. I'm not trusting in anything that may be good about me. I am trusting in you. I put my confidence in you. Now, I have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. The flesh will let you down. The flesh will always let you down. The arm of flesh will fail you, the Bible says. And so our confidence is in God. And when we do this, the Bible says, and the Lord shall lift you up. My God, my God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. I need a reader for that. And then we're going to go to, I'm going to give you these next set of verses. And I want somebody to get ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. And then we're going to go to Galatians. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line. I don't know what y'all are feeling, but I'm feeling the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Okay, let's go to Ephesians right now. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Somebody read that, please. You can unmute yourself.
But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints.
Thank you, Sister McCollum. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Holiness has to mean something. Lord have mercy. You need to write that down. Holiness must mean something to the child of God. I surrender my fleshly desires. I surrender the emotion of greed, worldly desires. Anything that is impure, I resist it. I surrender it. Some people pray this prayer, Lord, take it away. I think that that's a very immature prayer because it shows that you don't understand how this thing works. God ain't taking nothing away from you that you don't want to let go of. God will only take what you give him, whether it be your burdens or your problems. Peter said, casting all your care upon him. That means you got to let it go. You've got to release it. And he uses the word cast, which suggests an aggressive throwing away. See, some people play with fornication. They play with sexual sins. They play with carnality and lust and jealousy. They play with profanity and evil thoughts. You can't be sitting there playing with this stuff. This thing will kill you. The wages of sin is death. Paul says fornication and all uncleanness. So sometimes people just focus on sexual sins, sins of the flesh. But the scriptures talk about sins of the spirit, jealousy, carnality, envy, strife. Some people are real hard to get along with. If you have the Holy Ghost, you should have a peaceable fruit. You should have the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. You should have the kind of disposition that is embracing, not repulsive. Because the Holy Ghost doesn't make you repulsive. The Holy Ghost makes you nice. Can I say that again? The Holy Ghost don't make you repulsive. The Holy Ghost makes you nice. The wisdom of God, James talks about it, easy to be entreated, easy to approach, in other words. Some people are so unapproachable that you get tired of trying to approach them. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't, but you get tired of it because they're so unagreeable, disagreeable. Holiness needs to make you need to be changed by holiness. Holiness, hold on to your holiness. Somebody, Holy Ghost is talking to somebody right now. Surrender those, that greed, those impulses that are of the flesh. And I've shared with you how to do it. Sometimes you got to learn how to have an accountability partner. Somebody with the Holy Ghost that's saved and stable. Can I say that one more time? Somebody with the Holy Ghost that is saved and stable. It's a wonderful thing to have people that profess holiness as friends and acquaintances. But you got to watch out for people that have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. Because that is going to cause you to excuse unholiness and not stand for holiness. Paul says there's certain behaviors that shouldn't even be named once amongst us as becoming saints. I'm not gonna hold you down on that one too much longer, but I want you to understand, because some of your behavior is outside of the box. And let me put it this way. Some of your behavior is outside of the ark. If you want to live outside the ark, that's your business. But you ain't taking me outside the ark, because there's safety in the ark. And the ark is Jesus. And Jesus gave us the power by being an example. He was at all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And so he is able to secure us as a faithful high priest. He's able to strengthen us in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of the struggles that present themselves to us. When temptation comes upon us, the Holy Ghost is right there. Can I get a witness, somebody? When temptation comes upon us, the Holy Ghost is right there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, please. And then somebody also have Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Let's go.
First Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
All right. You got to understand. Now, I'm going to ask you to go a little further because I know what comes next. Go to verse number 10 there, please. I mean, verse number 11.
Okay. And such were some of you.
Yes.
But ye are washed.
Yes.
But ye are sanctified.
Yes.
But ye are justified.
Yes.
In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Read that one more time, Sister Sharice. That verse 11, please.
And such were some of you. But ye are washed.
Mm-hmm.
But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
My God, my God. See, we were in this state, but we ain't there no more. The unrighteous is not going to inherit. I told you all before that our sonship with Christ allows us to have access to God as well as have an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. If we step out of the ark, we lose everything. My God. When you step away from what God has called you unto, and he's called us unto holiness, you jeopardize everything. And my question to you is this: is sin really worth that much? Paul says, unrighteous not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He said, don't be deceived. Don't get this twisted. Don't get confused here. Don't be confused. Fornicators ain't going. Idolaters ain't going. An idol is something that a person worships, something that a person has an affinity for and has a reverence toward. And if you do that toward anything but God, you're an idol worshiper. Some people's money is their God. Some people, their home is their idol. Some people, their looks is their idol. They are so enamored by their look that their look, the way they look, the way they dress, their clothing becomes more important than things, you know, they become overwhelmed and overindulgent in it. Adulterers, fornicators are those who commit sexual sins that are not married. So a person having intercourse without being married is a fornicator. And generally speaking, that word fornication in scripture also has a connotation for all sexual sins. Adulterers are those who are married that have sex out of wedlock. Effeminate, dealing with the homosexual spirit. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Thieves, covetous. And so you got to, you know, the covetousness speaks of a person's condition of a heart, not even an act. Most of these other, and let me tell you something. Some of these words that are used for actions also speak about the condition of a person's heart. Fornication, adultery. That speaks about infidelity. And a person can be unfaithful in their heart before they're unfaithful in their flesh. God have mercy. Nor drunkards or revilers, partygoers. Uh-huh. Some of those parties back in Paul's days were orgies. They were sex parties. Some of them, they would go and eat and they would gorge and then they would force themselves to throw up. Food orgies. They would go and eat and eat and eat and then force themselves to throw up and then eat and eat and eat and force themselves to throw up. Paul says none of these types in heart or in action will inherit the kingdom of God. And then I knew what was coming up next in verse 11. And I asked Sister Therese to read that. And he says, and such were some of you. So sin by any other name, it's still sin. It's not an affair. It's adultery. It's not premarital sex. It's fornication. It's not homosexuality. It's sodomy. It's not obsession. It's idolatry. It's not fibbing. It's a lie. It's not abortion. It's murder. Do not whitewash sin. Repent of it. If you have sinned, you need to ask God for forgiveness, because flesh will get you in eternal trouble. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. And I'm going to have to go into prayer. And I'm going to have to finish this next time. Praise the Lord. I've got a little bit more for you on this because I really want to help you to understand how to battle, how to deal with these strongholds. Let's go Galatians chapter 5, please, verse 19 through 21.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness,
lasciviousness.
Thank you.
Amen.
Adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. Verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Now, you have got to understand that this is a problem. For what Christ has done has solved the problem. If you go back under sin, you recreate the problem that Christ's sacrifice has solved for you. There's a certain kind of life that is in line with God's will. And then there's another kind of life that's completely out of the will of God. And Paul is again listing it here for the saints at Galatia. Adultery again. You know, this cheap sex, this loveless sex. Now, some people can say, well, I love him, I love her, and we're going to get married. It's still sin. The Bible says that I'm trying to remember the scripture that says, and the bed is undefiled. Marriage is honorable in all things, says the scripture, and the bed is undefiled. If you are in the bed with somebody and you're not married, you're in the wrong place. You in the wrong place. You need to get out of that bed like the house is on fire. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. So we talk about uncleanness and lasciviousness. We're talking about, you know, these lustful behaviors. And it doesn't have to just be in terms of physical lust, in terms of sexual sins. You can be lusting after a thing. Some people lust after money. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And you got to be careful. Because if you love some, if you are attracted to something that takes you away from God, that's a sin. That's an idol. Witchcraft. Whew. You know, people have practices that are culturally based. You need to make sure that it lines up with scripture. Your culture should never supersede your God. And if a cultural practice is demonically inspired, and if you get the revelation that it's of the devil and you continue to practice it, you got to watch out, because you open the door. You may be opening the door to certain spirits in your home, certain spirits in your family, that you have no idea what you're doing because you're playing with sin. And the Holy Ghost is going to deal with you about it. The Holy Ghost will trouble you. The Holy Ghost will trouble you because the Holy Ghost will bring you to truth. And truth will trouble you if you're not in truth. If you're in the truth, truth ain't gonna hurt you. Truth will build you up. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But if you resist the truth, it just leads to bondage. Now, I'm gonna have to let you go. We're gonna have to go into prayer. And I've got a good amount more to share. And I'm gonna have to share that with you next week, because with the new life in Christ, strongholds are destroyed. When you get the Holy Ghost, something happens. And we're going to continue with that next time in the name of Jesus Christ. We're getting ready to go before the Lord in prayer. And I'm feeling a need right now. I'm feeling a need right now, and there's a need for healing. There's a need for the freedom of minds and hearts. The Lord did not bring you into salvation for you to fail. He did not bring you into grace for you to become the victim of sin. No, my friend, you are God's choice person. You are God's choice. I really wish I could hear your voices. I want you to declare this out of your mouth. I want you to declare this out of your mouth. I am God's choice. I am God's choice. I'm not left behind. I'm God's choice. And because I am his choice, Woo! There is no failure in God. He has delivered me from the powers of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. Tonight, there's somebody on this line right now that needs to ask God for forgiveness, needs to ask God for wisdom, needs to ask God. Make your request known unto God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your presence right now on this line. I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost, where you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I thank you for the transforming power of the Holy Ghost and for the new creation realities. Oh God, sin does not rule within us. We have victory. I thank you right now. It's not connected to our emotions, but we can feel the joy. It's not connected to our feelings, but we can know this. Woo! He that has begun a good work in us will complete it. You will perform it. I thank you right now. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. There is nothing in this world system that the devil can concoct. No weapon formed against the child of God can prosper because we are in your hands, Father. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I thank you, oh God, that we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We believe, Lord God, therefore have we spoken. This is not just a feeling. This is a fact. This is the truth of your word. I thank you right now for casting down strongholds and imagination. I thank you that you have given us spiritual armor. I thank you that you have put in us your nature by the Holy Ghost. I thank you that we cannot live holy without the holy nature of you in us. And I thank you that the Holy Ghost in us is what gives us the power to live holy. I thank you that holiness is still right. I thank you that you've called us to holiness, holiness in our attitude and holiness in our hearts. And so, Lord God, tonight with joy, we thank you for victory. We thank you, Lord God, for your peace. We thank you, Lord God, that we can release, oh God, even those that have offended us. Lord, some of us are dealing with unforgiveness. Lord God, help us to remember that you forgave us. Some, Lord God, are dealing with jealousy. Help us, Lord God, to know that you have made us the apple of your eye and that there is none, that there is no respect of persons with you. You don't love any one of us more than the other. Your love is an experience that is incomparable. And as we submit ourselves unto you, as we yield ourselves unto you, the closer we draw to you, the more of you we'll see. And so, God, this opportunity is available for all. Somebody may be on the line tonight that needs salvation. And I pray, Lord God, that you will touch their hearts, that they will open their hearts to you in repentance, that they will open their mouths to you to confess repentance. Lord God, that they will seek out water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and that they will go on to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the biblical evidence of speaking with other tongues. Lord, let your word come alive in our hearts. Let your word come alive before our very eyes. We're in a pandemic, and so many people are considering alternative means for this, and we have to make adjustments in our lives for that. We've got to deal with social distancing and wearing masks and things of that nature. But Lord God, I thank you that we don't need any of those items to come into your presence. All we need is an uplifted hand. All we need is an honest heart. All we need is a contrite spirit. Oh God, you will not despise it. And so tonight, Lord God, we embrace you. We choose you. Hallelujah. We choose you. Hey, we choose you. Sometimes it'll be hard, but we choose you. We choose you because you love us as your children. And even if we have to be corrected, Lord God, help us to trust you enough to accept it. It's for our good. Oh, God, it was good that we were afflicted, that we might learn your precepts, even in the challenges we face, even in the correction that we receive, there's a lesson in it that draws us closer to you. And so, Lord God, I thank you for grace that you pour out upon us. I thank you, Lord, for strength that is ours. I thank you for the promises, all the promises, all the promises. My God, somebody on this line ought to confess it, all the promises, all the promises. You're able to keep us from falling. You're able to present us faultless. You're able to do all things in us, and we can do all things through Christ. So, Lord God, somebody on this line tonight, they need to give you praise for their victory right now. Somebody on this line tonight ought to thank you for another day. Somebody on this line right now, I need them, Lord God, to see that greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are infused with your power. Lord, somebody needs to praise you for victory over sin right now. Somebody needs to praise you, Lord God, that the stronghold is coming down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! We are trusting you, Lord God, with every battle. We are trusting you, Lord God, with every struggle. We're trusting you, Lord God, with every attack. Oh, for you are the God of battles, and you bring us to victory every time. And so now we commit ourselves into your hands, and we pray this prayer over your people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you his peace. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Go forth in victory. The victory is already yours. All I see is victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. And until we meet, until we greet, take the limits off of God. God bless you. Live rapture ready, saints. Jesus is coming soon. And I want you to be ready. Nothing else matters more than being ready to be caught up to meet Jesus when he comes. God bless you in the name of the Lord.